You know, when there is few, but its quality is always better than to have a quantity, not quality. So we have a quality. And so let's enjoy the blessings that we have. We look at it. We have visitors here. Yes. Happy New Year to all of you. Those that are engracing us with your presence. We have a young lady that is here with the Kisaka family too, that she blessed us last week with a special music. And I was told that if today we didn't have a special music, she was ready. That's the spirit, ready to go. And we hope that you come back, because we will keep you busy here. And we know that our brother Sergio is pretty soon leaving back to college, but we are very blessed that he is with us as well. Yesterday, somebody had a birthday. We are keeping a secret. A happy birthday to that person who had a birthday yesterday. And to those of you that are having, today we have a brother Anthony Soracci. He is not here with us, but he has a birthday today also. But there is some other birthday that is happening just today. Something big that is related to you is happening a birthday today. And I'm not talking about because it's the Sabbath. Who do you think that we're talking about? No, a birthday. Somebody's having a birthday today. My mother. Yes. Your mother. Today is the birthday of her earth, Mother Earth. From the moment it was created, and it was being celebrating since then. And as my brother Joseph was saying, we looking forward to go a place where birthdays will be no longer that is so meaningful. Why? Because I think birthdays are so meaningful right now because every single day, I mean, every single year that we grasp, we know, says, ah, thank God, one more, I got it, one more. And but when we get into eternity, that will be no more. Today is Abba's day. Some people call today a holy day, but they spell it different. And they are saying that today is a holy day, not because it's the Sabbath. Remember, we mentioned this last week. Today is a holy day, a true holy day. Tomorrow is not going to be a holy day. And today is a holy day, not because it's the first day of the year. Today is holy day because your father, your lovely father, Abba, chose this day to celebrate. Now, the new year is a stage. That's why we chose this background. It's a stage when everything that we expect is supposed to come out of those curtains. So today's message we entitle Expectations. It will be a different spelling, but what is an expectation? I'll say, it's a station when you expect things to arrive. That's what expectation is, when you're anxious to see who is coming. Who is coming? What is coming? What is bringing to me? So we are always willing to look into what is coming. What advancement have we made in the knowledge of Christ during this past year? How do you relate? There is four things that I would like you to keep in your mind as we go through this message. First is faith. And I put all with F because it will be easy for you to remember. Faith, which should be the basis for our existence. Faith is the basis for everything. Even people who claim that they don't believe in anything, they do. Every human being believes, because that's part of being a human. That's how our mind works. We believe. We may believe in wrong things. We may believe in many things we shouldn't, but we all believe. Even people that says, I am an atheist, they do believe. Sometimes they believe more than we think they do. It is very important for us to know. The question is faith, and then what comes next? Family. And then what comes next? Friends. And then future. I want you to think about those four words. Faith, family, friends, and future. Because all of us, whatever we do, we always pursuing the future. We want to see the future. Why? Because the future means that life continues, and that is the greatest blessing that we have. So what the old year with its burden of record, 2021, has passed away. Yes, died, gone, kaput. The new year, with all its possibilities, is here today. I was thinking, and I have no idea why I was thinking this. I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, this thought came to my mind, not last night, but before. It says, you know, why yesterday has a day? Why today has a day, but tomorrow doesn't have a day? You know, I says, yesterday, the part of it is there is a day there. Today, oh, there is a day there. But tomorrow, there is no day over there because it's not guaranteed. Yesterday is gone. Today is here for us to do something about it. And tomorrow will come today if today is a good day. So let's plan that way. All right? Now, resolution. Have you made a resolution yet? A long list? All the things that you plan to do. Look what it says here. A New Year's resolution is something that goes in one ear and gets out in the other one. And you know the year there is just they are playing with the words. Shall we not at the beginning of this new year dedicate ourselves and everything we do, everything we say and think and have to God? That's the purpose. Shall we not listen to His voice that constantly speaks to us, which call us to renew our lives, to make a new commitment towards consecration? The word consecration means to be holy, to be like Him, and entrust all our capabilities to His service. Because if we serve Him well, then we'll be well. I want you, the children, to pay attention to this picture. Sometimes we think that we are too little to do great things. And sometimes we are very daring. We decide to jump. Sometimes we jump too high and we can get hurt. But it's important for us to be defiant and say, you know what? This place here is too small for me. I need to jump to a better place. And this, I saw this picture, I said, I have to share this with the church, because look, the little fella, he put all his strength to make sure that he could go up to a better place, more space. That is a resolution, they says, when he was that little one, he says, I'm going to make it. And he went for it. Now, do you think he made it or not? Why you're being negative? You don't have good expectations. Believe him, because he believed in himself or herself. I don't know. Yeah, we don't know if it made it. I think it did. I want you to pay attention to those words. Dreams. All of us have dreams. And some of us turn our dreams in nightmares, but we're not supposed to. We should supposed to make sure that our dreams are dreams. What makes a dream a good dream? Attitude. What makes possibilities? Aptitude. What makes goals? Purpose. What makes opportunities? Courage. If you write this down and you apply this in your life, I can tell you that you don't need to listen to the rest of the message. Have dreams, but have the attitude to support it, to make sure that they become a reality. Have possibilities. Look for possibilities. Some people sometimes, they look so negative about everything that things don't make possible for them because they have the negative attitude. Creating possibilities and then have an aptitude to it. Goals. If you have goals, expectations, make sure that you have a purpose for it. And make sure that God is the center. Remember faith, family, friends, and the future. That's what it goes. And that's resolutions become solutions instead of just resolutions. Now, the next that I'd like to share to you is this that is in the cover of the bulletin. This is an individual standing in a room, and there is this steps right beside him there. Steps in life, it means that I can go up or somebody can come to meet me. But it's always an expectation. It's always a possibility. It all depends what we do. I like this text. It's the I can do all text. Do you know what that is? Who said that? I can do all. I am the do all person. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things. And when it says I can do all things that I should do, not meaning things that you should not. So that's what I can do all attitude. Now, some of you know this, the illustration that Jesus Christ used in Matthew 25. If you look there, he says, again, it will be like a man going to a journey. And the journey here is a year. Let's make the journey a year. It's like God put in a box a gift for you. And today he's delivering that gift. And when you open the box, there is 365 precious gifts inside. How are you going to be using one by one? It may determine if you have eternity or not. And so when he is investing this, those that invest this, what they got, will have more. Those that did not invest will have less and even none. And so go on a journey. Who call his servants and entrust his wealth to them? He's talking about you and I. He's not talking about somebody from the Middle East or somebody from many years ago. He's talking about you and I today, the first day of the year. He's saying, I have something to entrust you. What are you going to do with it? And say the next verse, it says, to one he gave five bags or five boxes with gold inside. To another, he gave two. The first time I read this, I remember I was 16. And when the first time I read this, I said, doesn't look like God is fair. Why you give five to somebody and just two for one? And the poor guy only won. No wonder why he went and buried the only one. Because it looks like his master didn't trust him that much. He gave him. But the secret is I put in yellow so you can do not miss this. It says, each according to their ability. It was an act of grace how much God gives us, how much entrusts us. It's an act of grace. God does not give us more to expect more beyond what we can give back. To each one of you, God knows exactly how much grace you need and how much he can entrust you. So he will not ask you something to give that you cannot. I was a pastor in a church, and I mentioned this a few times before, so I'll mention again. We had one elder of the church that always would come to the pulpit when it was a time for the service, and when he had to make an appeal for the offering, he would say like this, Lord, bless those that can give, and bless those that cannot give. Have you ever met somebody who cannot give? I have been alive for a few years. I have been many places before. And I have not met one single person that cannot give. I have met few people that do not want to give. Oh, I met few. But for you to show to me one person, there is one person that cannot give. He is in a funeral home right now, ready to be buried. That's the only person who cannot give. Because everyone who has received has the ability to give according to their ability. And then you know the rest of this story. It says, the man who had received five, he went up and look, I put in yellow again for you to pay attention to this point. It says, and put his money. Interesting that Jesus called his money. Jesus didn't say the master's money. He says, it's his money. And what did he do? He went and invested. Why should we invest? Because it is when we invest, we get interest and make it interesting. So also one with two bags and did the same thing. But then there is this fella. he was in a digging business. He went and he was saying, you know what, I have only one. What about if I make a poor investment? I better just bury it. His master's money. Notice the contrast? The other ones that worked, it was their money. But the one who chose not to work, it was the master's money. So he was bearing God's abilities, possibilities, opportunities. He was bearing God. That's what he was doing. He was putting under the ground what belongs to God. And it's my appeal that none of you will do this year, next year, and until you see Christ coming with you, for you. God's expectations. What talents has God entrusted to you? Ask yourself this question. What can I do? What are the things that and what are the things that I can develop? Because as long as I'm alive and kicking, I have the ability to be creative and to do something for God. And believe it, when we say for God, it's not only God, because when we do for God and do to other creatures, we are doing for God, because everything we do for others, it is a blessing to God as well. What does He expect you to increase? Why do people have different abilities? Because it's different opportunities. Imagine life could be very boring if we all look alike and we all did exactly the same thing. We would be worse than machines. Even machines have different capabilities, different purpose. So all of us, God has given us the ability to be creative and be useful. How do you increase your ability? First of all, give yourself some purpose. Give yourself some credit. You have the ability. Put it to work. What about the person who has given but only one? If you have received one, invest one, you will double. And by the way, a person who gets five, invest five, got five. And the person who invests two, got two, invest two. All of them have received exactly the same thing. All the only problem is the one who got one decided not to invest. Why did he hide one in the ground? If you're not thinking about producing anything, you will be burying not only your talent but yourself. That's part of the program. And what was wrong with his attitude? He was one person, he did not believe in God. He didn't trust in God. He was not only entrusting him, but he didn't. He says, oh, I know that you're severe. He even said something bad about God. He said, I know that you're severe, you're cruel. So I was afraid. He blamed God for his fear instead of assume responsibility. Questions for self-evaluation. I hope that you later on make a list of those lessons. How much interest do you put in each task you participate? And I'm going to talk about only church-related. On the four aspects, on faith, on family, on friends, on your future, how much interest do you put in every activity that involves those areas? How could you improve your quality of life? Are you the person who says, you know what, today is the first, tomorrow will be the second, they all days, and the days you keep repeating just like a recorder. You push, it plays the same thing, you put rewind and push again, it will say, it never will be different. Every time you rewind and play again, it will be the same thing. Some people live a life that is so boring, that is disastrous, because they don't do anything with they don't live with purpose. You need to improve your purpose, the quality of life. If last year you did not accomplish something, maybe God is giving you an extra chance for you to do it. What are the valuable accomplishments do you expect from yourself this year? What are one thing that you never did before that you want to do it? Not only to have the joy of accomplishing something, but be sure that you do something that is meaningful in your life, in the life of somebody else. How do you see yourself? If you had to mark this about yourself, do you see poor? Or maybe you say, oh, no, I'm not that. I'm average. No, I'm good. I'm actually very good. Some people think too much about themselves. But you skip excellent because you say that is too much. But what about God? If God has to mark that kind, God doesn't even see very good, average, poor. God goes and mark excellent because that's what God expects of you. You were created in His image. He is excellent and He expects you to be excellent. Everything you do in life, take time to be excel. Be excellent. Sometimes people do things the way they do, you can tell that they don't care. Why even bother to start a project if you have no intention to finish, to accomplish anything with it? You waste time and you just harm yourself. Be perfect, therefore, as your Father, Heavenly Father, is perfect. But you must always act like your Father in heaven. Then contemporary English version says, like, I like this, you must be always be like your dad. That's His expectation. He wants us to be like Him. Are you following Jesus? Expectations of a true Christian. I have a list for you. I'll be a little bit quicker to with this one because I have 12 things that I'd like to share to you. It says, trust God and be positive. By the way, it's not possible to be a negative person and still have a strong faith. Positive, be positive. Expect what is good and good comes your way. In Spain, they have the run of the bulls. You ever heard that before? You know, people must be insane. You go there and their idea of fun is to be smashed by a bull and be stepped by a bull. What kind of insanity. But they go, people pay thousands of dollars to go there to participate on that. And they kept looking. They kept looking to see when the bull is coming. There are people that stays just like those people. They invest money and they stay by the road looking just for the disaster to come. Everything they expect is only trouble. And they have an idea that that's part of their fun. That's part of life. They always looking for trouble. They look everything with a negative attitude. And by the way, be careful not to be around those people because it poisons you. They not only destroy themselves, but they destroy everybody around you. I'm not advising you to walk away from them. I do the Christian thing. Help to lift them up. Don't allow them to bring you down. So look for the good in people. If you look for the good, you always find good and you'll be surrounded by good because good is your business. Let me repeat this. Because you accept Christ, goodness is your business, is your daily life. Everything you do should be involved with goodness because that is your nature if you are a son and daughter of Christ, of God. Witness daily about Christ, not only by word, but especially by the way you act, by the way you do your things. It is important when you do something, people look and says, you are different. A different in a good sense, not a different because you are bad. Make your faith attractive to others. If you go home and you have a family member visiting you because today is New Year's, so they are there with you in your home. They are not Seventh-day Adventists. But you arrive at home and you are in a hurry to make sure that you make meals and everything else. And you're so preoccupied with your family member or friend that you do not share with them, oh, today church was a blessing. Oh, today I met a fellow Christian. Oh, today is Abba's day. Instead of making your faith attractive, you even forget that you have a faith because something else is distracting you. Be a helping hand with, what is the word there? What is the word? If somebody's taking a nap, just say enthusiasm. Oh, enthusiasm. And it says, you know that I put in yellow the part thus. That is God. It is impossible to have enthusiasm without God in. That's what the word enthusiasm means. Possessed by God. Driven by God. Inspired by God. That's what the word enthusiasm is all about. Shouldn't we have enthusiasm? Is it possible for us to be a Christian without enthusiasm? It's not. You may look like one, but you're never going to be one if you don't have enthusiasm. In Spanish, they say with ganas, you know, gusto, you know, with a you know, you have to be driven with enthusiasm. It says, be considerate and willing to listen. Some people do a lot of talking, and sometimes they say so many things that doesn't mean anything, is because they don't listen. So their vocabulary is wearing out. So that's why they keep repeating the same thing, because they are not feeding themselves. So if you don't have much inside, you keep always bringing out the same thing over and over again. It says, don't tolerate wrong. Let me repeat, don't tolerate wrong. Don't offer your ears as a platform for evil. Don't offer young ones, don't offer your eyes to be sacrificed to something you should not be looking at. Don't eat what doesn't belong in the temple of the Lord. Don't think what does not please God. Be Christ-like. Be Christ-like in everything you choose to do in life. Seek understanding to glory God, seek understanding to glorify God, not yourself. Be a peacemaker without compromising your faith. Sometimes people want to have peace, but they compromise. You can be KFC. Remember what KFC stands for? Not Kentucky Fried Chicken, no. Do you remember KFC? How many do you remember? What is KFC stands for? Kindness and firmness and consistency. Be kind, be firm, and be consistent. If you as a parent use this formula, your children will be flying out of here. It's earnestly seek a strong relationship with Christ and His Holy Word. And believe me, you'll be a pleasant person to be around if you have that kind of relationship with Christ. Attend church regularly, not once a year, and give your wholehearted support because you're supporting God's church. Inspire before you expire. Inspire before you expired. Ecclesiastes 5:4, New Century Version says this. When you make a vow, and we all do make vows every day, in different levels we make promises every single day. And by the way, before God, you don't have to say, I promise. If you say, I will, that's a promise. That's a vow. Every word before God counts. So be careful what you say. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. By the way, when you make a vow to anybody, not only to God, but to a spouse, to children, Sometimes we see parents all the time says, don't do this or I will spank you. And that kid will say, let me see if it will happen. And doesn't have always spank you. I have seen parents that say, I will do this, I will do this. And the children says, I know you won't. We develop this, don't promise. Good or bad, don't make any promise that you do not intend to keep, because that involves your personality. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. Expectation. Here's a prayer that we all can make it today. This young man is making a prayer, and his prayer, he says, Lord, make my wishes a reflection of your will. This is a principle. If you want your answers, if you want answers to every single prayer that you pray, the formula is very simple. Fit your prayer into God's will, and God will answer your prayers. And then it says, I have done my best. Make sure that you do your part, because God will not do your part. He will do his. And it says, please grace me with the strength and wisdom to accept the outcome. Sometimes we ask God for something, but we are not really willing to accept the answer. And when the answer that comes that, oops, that's not what I asked, or it must not be from God. Let me pray again. Let's see if God gets right next time. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having a sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And we're almost finished. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. And that is a sure thing that God has promised us. At this time, I'd like to invite someone to come and give us a testimony.
Thank you, church. Thank you, pastor. It was last year, and COVID-19 really picked up speed. You'll remember that we could not meet at the church, and you were busy preparing for the church to open, and you were working on the bathrooms downstairs, the restrooms, with Sister Harleen. And I received a message. And that message came from back home. A pastor was asking for help because there was a camp meeting. More than 9 churches were going to meet on that camp meeting. And the government sent a letter that those 9 churches, they are to be closed. Why? Because they didn't have any restrooms. And I asked myself, well, where can the restroom when those 9 churches are going to be closed because they have no restrooms? And the total to get restroom to those churches was about $4,000. So I called a friend over in Texas. He's also in the ministry. And he said, that would be very difficult to get that kind of money right now. The camp meeting is only about a few weeks away. What are we going to do? Then we prayed. And he said, let's just hope God will do something. It did not take more than 2 days. Friend of my friend in Texas, he was playing golf. And so Brother Daga asked, told him, you know what, we have a problem over in Africa because those churches are going to be closed and they can't meet him. And the gentleman just told him, you know, can you go over my car on the glove compartment? There's an envelope there. I don't know how much is in there. But he just played a round of golf and he was given some money. Brother Doug and his wife, they went and took the envelope. Inside the envelope, there were $4,000. I thought that was something. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, thank you so much. Because those churches, they were able to get quick toilets on them and everything. And the whole camp meeting, there were at least 600 people. And 45 people were baptized. And that baptism was not just a regular baptism. I think I've shared with some of our church members. They had to go to a river. And on that river, I know there are crocodiles there. So I was amazed how to see the deacons and the deaconesses, you know, trying to keep their crocodiles away so people can get baptized. But it's because of your prayers. Amen. And God also gave us a miracle too. We were able to finish our restrooms downstairs and we were able to open our church too. And here we are, even visitors. So God is good. May God bless you.
Should we speak to you?
Happy Sabbath, church. And Happy New Year. I know that when believers gather, there is a special anointing. And I know that God is here as we speak. My testimony today is about myself. It's about myself and a certain encounter that had increased my faith and also changed my perception on how I look at God's deeds and how I look how God performs his miracles and work towards us. Last year in June, I lost my mother, my beloved mother. And the testimony I'm going to give today is about the time that God gave me to take care of her when she was sick. During the time I was with her, I realized that I knew my mother as a very loving mother, a person who loved God very much, and that's how she taught us, and a person who was close to his Lord more than maybe I did. But during that time, I knew my mother in a different perspective. The consistency in her love to his Lord was something that really touched me. And that's the encounter that I'm giving the testimony for this morning. She was lying on her sick bed, very sick, extremely sick, in an ICU bed for 52 days. But there was no one day that she would not smile, even in that pain. And there was no one day that she would not ask us to lift her up so she can write a note to us because she was not able to speak because of the oxygen and all the machines that were around her. And there was no one day that she would not encourage us in her messages that she wrote to us as we were taking care of her. And I kept asking myself questions that, how come a person in such a situation and pain, but still have a face that is glows and still have to encourage us who were taking care of her? And I kept praying and praying with her as we went through the journey until her last day. But after that, I went back to her writings and I saw a verse that she constantly wrote in that notebook. And that gave me realization and a new encounter to the Lord. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. She would write messages to us, her children, the family, and other people who were around there. And at the end of each message, she would write Psalms 125, which says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." And I want to leave with you this message for this new year, that when you get to know God, when you get to understand Him, when you get to accept Him fully, there's nothing that will shake you. Even on your deathbed, you'll still have a smile on your face because you'll not be moved. God bless you.
I have tried many times, and I'm going to continue trying to bring Serge one day to the pulpit to preach. You have no idea how intelligent and this young man has a very beautiful mind. And one of these days, we'll get him to the pulpit to preach. We'll find the time. So now he's going to give you his brief there.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, happy Sabbath, church family. It's a blessing to be here today. Really grateful. First of all, I'd like to thank Vista Church for all your support. I don't know if any of you know, maybe some of you know, but I'm at Wichita State University in Kansas, and that's where I go to school. And I've always had the support of my church family behind my back, and that means a lot to me. So I'd like to thank you guys for that. 2021 was a really different year. Challenging, a lot of challenges, and I'm glad we made it through. And one thing that stuck out to me this year was the love of family. And I can't stress that enough. My family has supported me through a lot of things, and I'm happy that they're with me 24/7. Even when I'm out in school, when I'm at work, they're with me wherever I go, always supporting me and keeping me going. I was thinking of what to say today, all week, and last night we were having Vespers with my family, and I read a verse from Jeremiah 29 verse 11, and coincidentally enough, that's the verse that Pastor had prepared for us this morning. But I don't believe in coincidences. I think everything happens for a reason. So I like to repeat that verse before I get to what I wanted to say. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I'll repeat that one more time. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Last night we talked about purpose, and I think it is fitting that we get to open the year on the Sabbath day. And we're reminded that our God is a purposeful God. And I like to encourage each and every one of us to have a purposeful year. A year filled with hope, a year filled with expectations and goals that we set for ourselves, and not only for ourselves, but for our future. And with that said, the only purpose that we should be looking forward to is to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you.
I have two or three more slides here, and I'm not, if by your grace, I will, oh, somebody asked me, what about the mask? Okay, about the mic too, I'll put the mic. Very briefly, let me say this to you. All of us invest. Some invest on the market, some invest in other things. Some of you are very good in finances. And why we invest? Because we want interest. Now the interests are very low. And looks like the interests of many things in life is very low right now. But how to invest? Invest time on what you can improve. Invest time only in what God approves. Invest in good people. Keep them close. And those that are not so good, keep yourself a little distance. Give yourself a break. Keep learning. You know, mind is a gift. Keep learning. Learning something good every single day, trying to discover something. Because the mind, it can be a workshop for Satan if you're not careful. It says, enjoy the simple things of life. Sometimes people spend a lot of money in things that are not there. There are simple things that can, you can go buy a card, $10, $15 a card or whatever card you, but if you take the time to draw something with your pen, that is more precious than anything else. Laugh often. Laugh out loud. Laugh. You'll be amazed how that is better than any cream you can buy in the market for your little wrinkles. Laugh is good. It says the tears happen. You know, all of us will cry. Yes, that's part of life. But don't let them blur your vision. Cry, endure grief, and move on, because all of us suffer as part of life. Be alive while you are alive. Don't act like you are dead already, even though when you're still supposed to be alive. And the guy, surrender yourselves with people that care about you. If you find somebody who loves you, that's a gift. Be thankful for that. Cherish your health. If it is good, great. Preserve it. And if it is unstable, work for it to improve it. And if it is beyond what you can improve, pray about it and leave to God's hands. And by the way, if you go and see a doctor, they charge us a lot. At least go and see a doctor. As always, remember, life is not measured by the number of breaths you take, but by the moments that take your breath away. That's what it counts. It says, share your days. Share them. Days by yourself is not good. Share them with somebody else. Share your dreams. Share your faith, definitely. And honor God each day of your life, and your life will be wonderful. May 21, which is fading away, be just a memory, a good memory. But May 22, be the day that will be truly happy in your lives. I don't know about you, 2020 was a shaky year. We all were afraid that it was going to get worse. 2021, on my evaluation, I don't know about you, was better than 2020 because many of the fears went away. We are not done yet, but by God's grace, as all the crises that we have seen pass, this one also will pass. Stay firm. Think about faith. Enjoy the family. Value your family. Be loyal to your family. Be uplifting to your family. They are the gift that God surrendered. They are the angels that God created around you. Be very careful, selective about your friends. Jesus Christ says that to those that hate us, we should be pray for them. If we are good to those that even hate us, we're going to have more friends. But if we are bad even for those that are good to us, then we have a bunch of enemies. So live this life and let Jesus Christ leads you every step of the way. Remember, yesterday has a day, today has a day, but tomorrow is yet to come. So enjoy today. What is today all about? Today means to act this day. Make something important about this. He leadeth me. So let's sing together.